Regular meeting, September 10th, 2020. It is 7:07 according to my computer. Call the order. Stand for Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America,
and to the republic
for which it stands,
one nation, under God,
indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call, please.
Patty's on, so hold on. She's on. Patty, you're unmuted. Are you on your? If you're on your phone, maybe you have to put the mic light on.
How do you watch your if you're not muted, we can hear everything everybody's saying in your language, so keep an eye.
Patty Finn, are you on?
Finn, you on? They can't hear you.
Mamma mia.
Thank God this is our last Zoom meeting.
It is?
Right?
Hey, Mark, she says she's on.
She is on, but she's not. What she needs to do is, if she can hear, on the right side of the phone, there's a button that says mic. If that light is not on, you can't speak. So you need to hit that button and turn it on. She's not muted on the Zoom.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Very good.
I feel like the Verizon guy. Okay. Mr. Gennaro.
Excused.
Mr. D'Onofrio.
Here.
Ms. Wadomski.
Here.
Mr. Joseph DiMartino.
Here.
Ms. Kurnica.
Here.
Mr. Sill.
Here.
Mr. Jim DiMartino.
Here.
Mr. Hyder.
Here.
Mr. Sampson.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Forum.
Thank you, Patty.
You're welcome.
Number four, additions, deletions, corrections, and adoption of the agenda.
Mr. Mayor, I have none.
Okay. Number five, public portion. Anybody from the public would like to speak?
Yeah, Keith McLiberty, 15 Academy Hill.
Here you go, sir. Go ahead.
Thank you. Good evening, board. Tonight on the agenda, I believe, is the discussion of a light that's on the Academy Hill Green for discussion and possible action. I do recall it was going to go to subcommittee for the neighbors to comment on it. I know subcommittee got canceled. Just to share some concerns with that. One is that green has never been lit and never been a point of congregation where people come and sit on the bench at nighttime. My concern is if that's lit, it's going to invite people to sit there at night. We already have a concern in that neighborhood with illegal activity that's been going on for over 2 years and it continues. There's 12 to 15 cars parked in an illegal residency there. And we're trying to resolve that. To have a light on a bench, I think invites people to come sit and engage in whatever they're gonna engage in at night. So I would ask, since we didn't get to all the neighbors, as a neighbor there, that we don't light, put a light there. I think it's just bad news, it's inviting trouble. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Keith. Anybody else from the public would like to speak?
I would like to talk, Jim Gilday.
Go ahead, Jim.
I too wanna talk about the, I want to talk about the, yes.
Name and address, please, for the record.
Oh, I'm sorry. Jim Gilday, 11 Academy Hill Road, Derby, Connecticut. I do want to talk about that a little bit on two different fronts. One is the process. So when I saw the work being undertaken, I did, not knowing what it was, having any idea what it was, just seeing some guy dig a hole, I called the police department and they find out, you know, because again, this was bizarre to me to watch somebody dig a hole in a public land. So when I got in touch with the police department, they told me that the work was authorized. And I said, do you mind telling me who that was authorized by? And they did tell me it was authorized by a gentleman named Mike Pittman from Public Works. So I guess the first front is, you know, obviously a vendor wouldn't approve the work. So I guess the first question is, how were the police told that that was authorized work? Because I do think that there was a process, and I don't think that process was followed. And I think that it's important that we follow our processes. And so that was a concern to me. And then secondly, I would also say that it's a concern to me, similar to what Keith McLiberty said, is that, listen, you know, we've had some crime in the area. And I don't really think that we're trying to attract people who could potentially be loiterers. It's a beautiful area. It's beautiful as is. It has the wonderful monument, the wonderful bench at the bottom of the street. It's got the Daughters of the American Revolution monument up top. So I would just tell you that it's pristine, it's nice, and as a neighbor, I would have concerns with this project. I would have concerns with the process that was followed, and I would definitely exercise caution in moving forward. Thank you.
Thank you, Jim. Anybody else from the public like to speak? Anybody else from the public?
Mr. Mayor. Ron Sill, 73 Grove Avenue, just so they wouldn't have to wait till the whole last thing on the agenda. The authorization didn't come through the board, so it was done improperly. So I'd ask the board later on to...
Ron, I think point of order, like this is just public. If you have a public statement you want to make, go for it, but I think that's part of...
All right, well, let them hang on then.
All right, anybody else from the public would like to speak?
Yes. I will yield to Mr. Sill first, I'd like to hear that, actually.
No, that's all right. I have no say.
No, yeah, but unless you want to just bring this up here, it's public portion. It's just
I didn't want to bring it up. I just had an idea about it. But.
All right. I mean, there's a lot of points of issues that were brought up the last time, and we're going to bring this up during that
discussion. I'll wait till...
Jim brought up some points, which were brought up last meeting, and... we're going to address them again, so.
I'll wait till 9:22.
Okay, thank you. Anybody else from the public would like to speak?
Yes, my name is Mark Arfalo, 95 Academy Hill Road. And I want to speak on that same matter, which is item number 9.3 on your agenda. I strenuously object to any approval this evening. It was represented that it was going to invite the neighbors of the area to weigh in on this. There clearly was no permission given. There is clearly we don't have a design of what this is going to look like. It doesn't make any sense on a lot of levels. It's the first center of gathering in the history of the city, dating back to 1675, when it was settled.
Maybe you can get somebody that has quite a privilege. I can't hear. There's so many people talking.
Yeah, could somebody mic here? Mute the mic, please.
Verbiage matters. We all
background music. Thank you. Go ahead, Mark. Sorry about that.
Thank you. So I mean, there are other projects that have been done. I direct you to the lighting at the top of Laurel Avenue that was done with no permission. That design is flawed. It looks like an airport landing strip. So I have very serious concerns when we're going to even act on anything without a design, and just the whole shadow over this whole issue, and not including the neighbors, especially those who are on Academy Hill, who are closer to that area. That space is a hallowed space, in that it is part of the original history of the city. There's no reason to have any lights on there, in my estimation, and certainly to approve any kind of plan without knowing exactly what's going on there. It's somewhat outrageous that it should even be considered, because that's not the nature of the green, given its topography and so forth. I don't think anybody would say that it's a place that would be a gathering space in the evening, especially when there are more than enough street lights that light it in that way. So any extra lighting would probably not add. or help the situation. So I would seriously request that the board follow a process and not take any action tonight. So first and foremost, that the neighbors can weigh in on that, especially those who are most directly impacted by it.
Thank you, Mark. Anybody else from the public would like to speak? Anybody else from the public like to speak? Third and last call. Now closed. Thank you, everyone that spoke on that important matter. Number six, we'll go to the department head, finance director. Any questions for the finance director? Police department, anything for the police department?
Is the chief on? Mr. Mayor, is the chief on or no?
I'm looking.
I don't believe so.
Nah, Tommy, I don't see him.
Okay. Well, I was just listening. I agree with everybody that we should postpone making a ruling tonight, but I would like to hear from the chief on if we've gotten a lot of criminal complaints in that area, because all the years that I've done community policing and crime prevention, lights usually prevent crime. So I would like to hear from the chief on this, get his opinion, and for the next subcommittee meeting. Thank you.
The fire marshal, I think, Fox. Okay, hearing done. Thank you, Phil. Fire department. Parker's there. You got the floor if you need anything to. Commissioner, are any questions for him? All right, thank you. Storm's Ambulance Corps. I don't know if I saw Mez up here. Hearing done. Board of Education, I see Doc's up here.
Doc, Tommy D'Onofrio, I have a question for you.
Yes, sir.
Are you available to meet with Mr. Sill and me next week sometime? We would like to have a talk with you.
Sure.
Okay, we'll get in touch with you during the week.
Awesome.
Thank you.
And Doc, Charlie Sampson.
Hello, sir.
How are you? Listen, I just want to say good job putting your plan together to get people back to school. My first question is, we're early into it. It's only a couple of days. How do you see your plan working, and are we on the right track?
I see the plan working exactly as designed, as well as the individual school plans that are aligned to the district plan. We're on track now, receiving more students than actually initially responded to a survey for in-person versus remote. So we're making sure we're accommodating those additional students now. But everything for the first 3 days now, 2 days we practiced the hybrid model. Today was the first full in-person half day. And each of the afternoons, just so you know, staff are then in the afternoons debriefing, going back to the plan, making any tweaks that they need to based upon the day's events to get ready for the next morning. We'll finish that up tomorrow with another full day of in-person, and then start Monday with a full in-person full day. So it's so far working well. If I could, a shout out to Brian is on, Brian Mezzapiel. Reached out to Brian several weeks ago to set up for the possible need for fit testing for N95 masks. So thank you, Brian. And a second shout out to Griffin Hospital, just been a tremendous partner in all this. Brian, we won't need your assistance, though you were right there when we needed you for fit testing. Griffin Hospital is going to begin fit testing all employees who need to wear an N95 based upon the circumstances that they're in. They're also going to provide us with those N95 masks in addition to testing assistance whenever a student or staff member needs to be sent to testing based upon the protocols. We'll be able to get the turnaround of those results back in 12 to 24 hours, no charge to the employee under that partnership as well. So both have been just tremendous partners.
Just to finish up, sir, I want to say a good job, and I'm glad the plan came together. I'm glad you're working with other agencies within the city, and this administration got your back, so thank you.
I appreciate that. We have, incredible from every kitchen worker to custodian to paraprofessional to secretary to teacher and administrator, just everybody pulled together and is continuing to do so every day to get it done. So a big thank you to all of them.
Very good.
Thank you, Doc. And okay, any other questions for Doc?
Actually, Dr. Conrad, I'd just like to mentioned yesterday, several of your football players went to Hartford, to the Capitol, to peacefully protest the cancellation of football season. And, there were thousands and thousands of players and coaches at the Capitol yesterday. And Governor Lamont is going to meet with the CIAC and discuss in the Department of Health to discuss putting the season back on yet again. I think for maybe the second or third time. But I think it was quite a job by those student athletes to go to the Capitol, have their voice heard, and actually get the results that they were looking for. So I'm proud of them. That was incredible. It was very good work. Testament to their
so true, Mr. Heider. And if there's any light in any of this, it's that experience that they otherwise would not have had an opportunity to be part of, initiate, be part of, and then see the results of. So I think it was just a great experience that otherwise would not have occurred. The greatest outcome will be that we get both that experience plus the fall football, but I'm very proud of what they did and what they accomplished through that process. Thanks for sharing.
All right, thank you. Anything else for Doctor? All right, hearing none, Doc, thank you again for being here.
Yep.
For what you're doing. Number 6-8, Public Works. Any questions for Ed?
Is Ed on?
He's muted.
Ed, I got a couple questions for you. Is that you, Mark, with the mute, or is it him?
I asked to unmute. He just has to press, I think, star 5 to unmute. So he's on, so you just give him a minute.
There he goes.
Okay, he's up.
Can you hear me now?
Yep.
Sorry.
Yep. You're on.
Ed, Ronnie Sill, the dikes down by the Greenway, last year we paid to have that cleaned, right?
Yes, we did.
And I see it's all back and more and heavy all along that dike again. We're going to have to do that every year because I don't want to get in trouble for it. I know they watch that.
No. We had the Army Corps of Engineers was here on Tuesday. They were understanding of the situation. I have been in touch with the company who did the work last year. Hopefully, we will be able to get them back without any additional cost to redo some of the spraying. Army Corps of Engineers, I'm sure, is going to give us a satisfactory report for this year. Also, it's something that all the cities and towns. Go through the same issues with the vegetation. It's not something that will adversely affect our rating, but it is something that we'll have to keep on top of. It's not an easy, there is no easy solution to it.
So it really didn't work out well last year, I guess. I couldn't believe it. I just happened to look today. I saw it looked like it just did last year.
Yeah, well, it has come back. I agree with you. Again, they personnel from Army Corps of Engineers was understanding. He says it happens all over. But it is something that we're going to have to stay on top of.
All right, thanks. Two more points.
I'll get in there real quick, too. I mean, we're unique, whereas we want to do development along the dikes and the levees. So we have to stay in their good graces. And where other towns, you can tell if right up the river from us there, you see trees up there. But I think we're doing our due diligence just to satisfy their needs. And then they can't hold the vegetation against us on our ratings, as Ed said. But we're going to talk to that. I don't want to repeat exactly what he said. But the Army Corps, is that we really need to work with them so we can get our developments.
Yeah, I'm talking mostly on the Naugatuck Riverside, across from the club there, you know.
Yeah.
All that side. We're not doing any development there or anything, but towards the river there, it's really, really bad. And a couple other things. Emmett Avenue, a resident complained to me the other day about debris from the storm still on the sides of the street from a couple of weeks ago.
Do you have a street address on Emmett, Ron?
I have the woman's name. It's Mrs. Lally. I'm not sure of her street address.
Yeah, all right, I'll find it and text it.
Okay, we can take care of it. We've been we're still picking up debris from the storm. Anybody who's got any debris, they can call and we'll certainly pick it up.
Yeah, it's not hers. This is our street, all along the street. She says people usually jog there and they can't jog along the side of the road or something. I didn't get there, so I can't tell you for sure.
All right, I'll go take a look tomorrow.
And the other last thing is, what about that brush that we were going to cut behind the bleachers at the field?
That's in the planning. Couldn't do it today. It was raining. Probably not tomorrow. Early next week.
All right. I know I talked to you over a week ago and you were going to do it. And I promise.
I'll get it done. Any idea when they're going to do the trees, when they're going to plant the trees there?
Oh, I don't want to wait for that. It's unsightly, and she was worried about bugs and animals. That's why I asked for it over a week ago.
I'll get to it as soon as we can.
That's all I have.
Anybody else for Public Works?
Yeah, Ed, Tom, don't offer you. How'd you make out with Whittick Park with those weeds?
The cattails, Tom, or
yes,
I don't know what you're...
The cattails, whatever you call them.
The cattails, I'm hoping to wait until fall, and we're going to have to hire somebody to come in and excavate those out. I checked with several companies. They all recommend, if you want to, you know, eliminate the problem, is to come in with an excavator and dig them out.
Would we do that ourselves, or we have to hire somebody?
Well, we don't have the equipment to do that ourselves. I would recommend that we wait at least until fall or early winter when the ground is a little bit frozen so that we can put an excavator up on the bank and dig them out. That would be, I think, the smartest thing to do. Companies who I've talked to, some of them recommend spraying with a pesticide. But even the companies that recommend the spraying with a pesticide say that to really eliminate the problem, you have to dig them, excavate them out.
Yeah. Okay,
so I think that. Okay.
Thank you.
And Ed, and I think Keith can jump in on this too. There is money for maintenance up at Whittick Park. We have a few bucks still in there. And hopefully, because I think I remember the last time I brought this up too, when Tommy brought it up. I think Ed McManus was the last one that went in there. They lowered it.
Quite a few years ago, they did it once. And that's what they did. They dug them out.
Thanks, Ed.
Hey, Ed, it's Sarah Wadomski. What is this, the number 4 on your notes, that the lighting project at the spillway nearly completed? What is that?
That's the light that's going to be illuminating the spillway.
And when did that start? I don't know about this project, so I'm not when it started, or maybe before my time.
I believe it was early spring that it was started.
Now, who authorized that?
That was...
Has to come to the Board of Aldermen.
That was basically in conversation with our friend, Mr. Sadlick, and had some ideas that he wanted to do. And how he took upon himself, I mean, this is part of what the East Derby thing is. He went up there after the fact, we found out about this. So it's like, I don't know if it's ever been done like this before, Ron. I mean, you've been here long enough where things have happened.
Maybe he's donating it.
You know, and if he's donating it, and that's the last I talked to him, he didn't thought he was going to start such a firestorm with this. And I told him, I go, we still have to go through the Board of Aldermen because it's city property and everything like that. And he's like, listen, I just want to beautify the city up and all. And if it comes down to it, if I have to donate whatever I did, so be it. So that's where that all came from. I mean, from a simple conversation of, I mean, where we took the light post down on Main Street, he's like, we should save it and put it somewhere. I was like, yeah, that's a great idea. Save it and put it up somewhere later. Not giving them their authorization to, you know, take it upon himself and start doing things. So
I know. Well, when the bill comes, we'll have to get it through the Board of Aldermen, that's all.
Yeah, and that's where that is. I mean, the concept and everything is good, and I forgot who brought it up. Or I think Mark brought it up. You just had diagrams and show us visual what it's going to look like before we just start putting it up, which I understand. So knowing the person involved, we all know. So, and he's like, wants to do good for the city, but unfortunately, I mean, I think someone...
Well, but we all want to do good for the city, don't we? I mean, everybody on this call wants to do good for the city.
Like, I know we have...
I mean, but it's like, nobody involved or on the call is like a newbie to these processes. Absolutely.
But like, when I know we have...
And being part of the land use board of the city has to do with the rules and regulations.
Absolutely.
Mr. Clerk, just a point of order. You should not interject unless you're recognized by the chair.
And I'm going to agree.
Sorry, I couldn't help myself.
I know, but just trying to keep formality.
And then, you know, when Onopi had property wanted to turn into a nature preserve with seals, you know, we stopped it, and once it came to light and everything like that. So, I mean, things happened in the past, and, you know, once it came to light, it stopped, and now, like, there's procedures that, like you said before, Mark, that we have to get this through. And Jim Gilday said the same thing. I mean, it just can't show up overnight, which it did. And now it's either it's going to get dug up or the aldermen are going to approve it. Just like BJ started ripping down, you know, all the trees and everything down there. They did it. Now we have to go through planning and zoning. So unfortunately, some things happen, and it has happened like that. So,
so with this project, this lighting at the spillway, there's been no bills presented to the city at this point. It wasn't.
No bills as far as.
But we have a bill. We did get a bill.
We did get a bill.
Yeah, but it hasn't been paid.
Correct. And may I? I don't want to chime in.
Yeah, Keith.
Ms. Wodinski, what happens is that bill, since any work at that water company property falls under the water company property account, any expenses related to that property go to the full board for approval. So that bill will be coming to the full board for approval. I don't know if the scope is done, ma'am. I just know the bill that we have was for work done so far. I don't know if it's complete, but nothing gets paid without Board of Aldermen approval at that property.
Mark, you have anything else to add? You want to say?
No, actually, I forgot my mic was on, so I apologize.
I just want to make sure if you had anything else you want to say, I was going to let you.
Well, it's a long history of the same type of behavior and the same kind of things, and now it's going to be all after the fact. So it's frustrating and disrespectful to this board and to the general good public policy. Sorry.
Mayor Charlie Sampson, I will not I would re-echo what Mr. Garofalo just said, but I get it. Mr. Salek wants to do a lot of great things, but if we find out he's doing projects, they have to go through the correct process. I believe Alderman Sills' committee will probably be the best place to handle both the bench lighting, which he wants to donate, and the lighting at the spillway. If he has that much energy, I need a kitchen and three bathrooms done over. Send them my way.
Absolutely. Any other questions for Public Works?
I apologize, Ron. I got to send those to you.
That's all right. He'll donate the work at your house too, I'm sure.
Yeah. And it's Rob Heider. Where do we stand with that weed in front of Bradley School? I understand it's on Bradley School property, but it had to be posted.
I check with Dr. Conway. We just want to make sure that it's not a tree or something that was planted in honor of someone. If it's merely a weed and a wild bush growing, we could take it down. I just want to make sure it's not in honor of anyone.
I've been asking for several months. I just didn't know when this process was going to start. You know, it's an eyesore. It's to the size that we're mowing around it now instead of taking it down.
As soon as I hear from Dr. Conway, we'll take care of it.
Great, thank you. Anything else for Public Works?
I think Dr. Conway was speaking. He's muted.
I'm here.
Hello?
One sec, Joan.
Have I lost you?
No, I'm right here. One sec.
Tell Joan we said hi.
I will. Joan, the Board of Aldermen says hello.
Oh. Well, tell them I'm throwing them kisses. Are you in a meeting right now?
I am. So I'll, but if you want, I'll give you a call right back afterwards.
Okay, great.
All righty.
Take care.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye.
Surprise.
Timing, but
this should be recorded in the minutes that we have kisses from John Bates.
Much more important than us, trust me.
And I'm sorry, Ed, was there a question or something I need to respond to? I apologize.
We were talking about the weed or whatever that is in front of Bradley School that Mr. Heider was concerned about. As long as that's not been planted in honor of somebody, we'll make sure we take it down forthwith.
Awesome. All righty. Very good.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Anything else for Public Works? Anything else? Okay. Not hearing anything else. 6.9 WPCA. Is that on there? Any questions for Ed?
Charlie Sampson, I don't have any questions, but Ed, just so you know, I am in receipt of the items that you want to scrap. They will come up at the next ops and procedures meeting to be moved to the full board. And Mark, maybe, I don't know if he sent it to everybody or just me. I saw the email, but Ed's looking to get. I'm sorry,
sir. I sent it to the committee. It to the committee.
All right, just so everybody is aware, and it won't be a big surprise coming up next month, Ed's looking to get rid of two vehicles that don't run currently. So it will take the proper course, and it will be on the agenda for next month.
Thank you, sir.
Any questions for WPCA? All right, thank you, Ed.
Thank you, sir.
Building department. Any questions for the building department? was on there.
Mr. Mayor Charlie Sampson, once again.
Yes, sir.
I see Carlo on here, but I also see Attorney Marino. I know I ask about this, and you probably give me the greatest answer, but at my age, I forget. I know, Ron, I see you laughing, but there's a number of properties on the blight list, and some of the liens on them are far greater than the assessed value. Why do we not do anything with this?
We do. Matters are advanced when authorized through the foreclosure process, and the properties are taken through foreclosure and then owned by the city and either sold or held, depending upon the will of this body, or an agreement is reached through the process for blight remediation with the payment of a portion of the fine. That's the process that the city has gone through. It may not move very expeditiously, particularly since the onset of COVID, because the courts pretty much closed down in March and are just starting to reopen. So for the past 6 or 7 months, procedurally, the posture of these blight properties have remained consistent, but the process of advancing them has been slowed by the impacts of the COVID virus.
Okay, so I get that. All right, so I'm going to take one example. 77 Minerva Street. It's been on the blight list since 2010. 10 years it's been on the blight list. The lien on the property is $100,000 more than the assessed property. And the only comments I have is, it's been on the list, we sent the letter, no response. At what point who sits down and figures out it's time to move forward? Is that this board? Because I have no problem on the next agenda asking the president to put on there to anybody who's at or above their assessed value for a lien to move forward with this.
You do have a blight subcommittee that reviews these matters, and based on the recommendations of the blight officers, brings things to the body for purposes of adding things to the list and removing things from the list. You've had agreements from time to time that you've approved foreclosure. I don't think there's been much activity in recent months. So I think you can refer your question to the subcommittee and they can discuss it. And if you want to establish a policy that we could employ in our administration of the blight properties, we can absolutely go in that direction. I think that's the board has that authority as being the arbiter and decision maker with respect to these properties.
Okay, I understand that part, and only being here 3 years with a lot of people on here longer than I have, I still don't understand. I get the blight committee puts properties on, takes properties off, but I don't think anybody has a clear understanding at which point who are the appropriate people to bring forward an action against the property. Once again, this one's going back 10 years. And the lien is $100,000 more than the assessed value. Should that come out of the blight committee to the full board, at which time the full board says, absolutely, go after this lien?
Yeah, you could either look at these cases, these matters on a case-by-case basis, depending upon the facts presented. For example, the property owners may be elderly and just incapable of remediating a deteriorating house, which there are situations of. Or you can take a more draconian approach and just make a standard that says basically after the passage of a certain number of months of being on the blight list, the property is to be referred to Corporation Counsel for advancing a foreclosure and pushing the matter forward that way. So you can set whatever procedural rules that the body would like to move these on. But, you know, I would caution you from making a standard because you are going to come across situations where it's going to be a challenge. The property owner, based upon economic situations, based upon health situations, based upon age, may not be able to address the issues as quickly as the board may like. So I think that you should vest your officers with some discretion in those instances. But again, we can advance these as quickly as the courts will allow us. And now that the courts are reopening, we can put all of the blight matters that you would like in suit and advance those causes so that either the city gets compensated for its lien and the blight remediated, or the city becomes the owner of it, which then would have the ability to remediate and transfer.
I could just chime in that, Ronnie, there's 10 of them that's more than 5 years old. And if people need help or whatever, I think the board needs to be made aware of each situation here. Because at the list, to look at the list, it's like, we're not doing anything here. Why do we have it?
I agree with Ronnie. I think what my question is, Attorney Marino, more to the point is, who is the authority to tell Corporation Counsel to move forward? Is that start at the Blight Subcommittee to tell the full board that we've tried to work with these people, we understand their finances, we get the problems, we suggest this goes forward? I'm not clear on what policy or ordinance allows which board to tell you to move forward.
From a process standpoint, I think since there's economic impacts to the foreclosure of a blight property, meaning that there's legal expense, but that's de minimis in the scope of you could be taking on a property that has environmental concerns that the city may not want to become the owner of. So what my suggestion from a process standpoint, and I think this is fundamentally how it works, is there should be a report generated at the staff level, given to the subcommittee. The subcommittee should review the matters and make recommendations to this full body as to what actions should be taken based upon the recommendations of staff. For the most part, I believe that's how the process has worked. To the extent that you're seeing a list of concern that there are properties that are just dormant, for lack of a better word, I think the question is to get a report on those properties and find out why those properties have laid dormant, whether it be because of the fault of Corporation Counsel's failure to advance the matters in the court, whether it be just the fact that there are environmental concerns with respect to property that we're just not going to be able to address, or some other issue. I think the only way to get to the heart of your question is to get a report on the on all blight matters that are pending so that we can then assess where things are. And then you, if you feel necessary, can form a policy so that you don't have 10 years from now the same matter sitting on the list.
I understand that.
I was muted. Mr. Singh, I don't know if am I muted or not. Can you hear me now?
I can hear you, but you sound like E.T.
Okay, so I was the whole time I was trying to chime in on some of these cases that maybe Ray Marino's not aware of it. So some of these liens that go 5-10 years, we had former corporation counsel that were supposed to act on these liens, and it never happened. Locally for us, and since his administration took over, the whole process has been expedited, and the ones that needed to be act on have. And COVID happened, and we're on a waiting pattern. But there are many liens that dated before when other corporation councils had the ability to foreclose or move forward these liens, and they didn't. So I just wanted to make that very clear.
Okay. Thank you. I wasn't going to say that, but thank you.
I under, it, I get that. I just think that, and I will ask the subcommittee, who the chairman is on the meeting tonight, to please look at these properties, those that are in the rear so bad that we need to do something with it. But on the other hand, Carlo, while you are unmuted and sound like ET, I'm looking at one property here, and if 310 Sentinel Hill Road, that's been on the blight list for 6 years. They owe us almost $200,000 more than their assessed value. And it says the property.
Carlos, can I just finish my statement?
They paid the whole thing?
So no, actually, they pay monthly to the mortgage. They pay monthly to us for the agreement that we had. And yes, he has fallen off his agreement. And even though he's trying to make improvements, the house is clearly blighted.
Is there not a process in place where these people cannot get a construction permit when they owe this much money to the city?
If they owe taxes or WPCA, they can't get a permit. If they have blight, that's not part of the state law. So you can't really restrict somebody from getting a building permit if they want to improve their house.
Because there's a $300,000 lien on their property, we can't restrict that.
Let's get the proper information on this property, because this property has a history, and I know they pay monthly directly to the finance department. So I'm pretty sure that's still happening. If not, I would have heard from it.
So next month, because this report here is inaccurate, next month I'll have an accurate report in regards to this property and every other property of where it sits.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right. Anything else for building department? No, facilities and such. Parking division?
Loan. Mr. Mayor, I have to let you know that both United Wine and Liquor and Maddie's are back paying after we gave them the little reprieve from COVID. And really, Maddie's had been paying, but United Wine and Liquor are back on board again. They appreciated the courtesy of letting them go a couple months.
Absolutely.
And Pat, if you could just pass along from me, I don't know if the rest of the board agrees, but those are two people that have taken out several revolving loans, have paid us back in full, and
always
we absolutely have to be compassionate and understand the economic times. So tell them thank you for getting back on board.
Absolutely. I will definitely let them know that.
Right. You, Chief of Staff is excused. If there's any pressing issues, he is available by phone. You have his report. Okay, economic development liaison.
I'd like to give you an update of what's going on in the city. As most of you know, that 90 Main Street has been being demoed. Len will be coming into planning and zoning next Tuesday night with his site plan. So that's very good news. Today, we had a review committee look over the three participants for the RFP for 6771 Minerva Street property that we put out to bid. They will all be getting an interview next week. The interviews will be on Wednesday. So hopefully by your next meeting, we'll bring the recommendation to the full board for the purchaser for 6771 Minerva Street.
Good job, Carl.
Yeah, good job, Carl.
Do we know about what are all those vehicles? There's a boat, several trailers, bulldozers behind BJ's, right at the beginning of of the road in back of BJ's?
That that is a private concern. I think that's Mr. Coalition's property. That has nothing to do with the city or the purchase of the BJ Road.
Okay. That's private property?
Yes.
Okay.
Tom, Jim DiMartino?
Yeah, Jim.
Anything with the old Adams near Big Y? Anything going to go on there?
The last I talked to the landlord is that they were negotiating with some, of course, they never tell you who they are. But no, I have not heard anything. And I always check with Carlo in the building department to see if any permits have been pulled through the city. And so far, there's nothing there. Okay. Nor is there any permits been pulled on Burger King.
Ah, thank you.
Okay.
All right. Thank you, Carmen.
Welcome.
Treasurer's report. Is Walt on? Okay. Corporate counsel. Any questions for corporate counsel or on his report?
Yeah, Charlie Sampson, Finn, I thought you were cooking steaks tonight. And my invite never showed up. I'm only kidding. Keep going.
I didn't want anyone else to know that, Charlie.
I know. Thanks, brother. Thanks.
Finn, do we have a written report?
No, the reports, unfortunately, remain stale because of the can't advance litigation. I actually just received... leave it to a judicial system. In order to make everyone aware that the court was starting to resume operations, the court generated motions for default against all defendants in every case throughout the state, which gave a lot of lawyers heart attacks because there was no basis for the default. So, which caused us to call the clerk. And I can report to you that the court system is beginning to resume. Most of what it is doing is going to be remote. And I would anticipate they're going to take about a year to a year and a half to catch up. But over the course of the next 30 days, we should be able to start advancing matters. With respect to any of the tax collections, we have been advancing those by way of collections. Collect matters frequently on behalf of the tax collector's office. And I have not been providing those updates to you. If you want to know when we're making collections, I'm happy to generate a report on that. That's done daily through my paralegal. And now that the courts are reopening, we can start resuming the foreclosures, including the blacklist. With respect to the Turco litigation, that litigation is basically at its infancy stage, and we are in the process of conducting discovery on the matter, and that will advance in the ordinary course, but again, based on the new system. And the only kind of from a transactional standpoint is back in June, the board approved bid award for Kitty Clarnick, and that matter was advanced by me to a contract. The contract was completed in August, and I believe it has been fully executed. Basically, in order to keep it simpler, it's now one contract in accordance with the terms of the bid that is based on the prior contract that had been in place. So I can provide you a copy of that contract if you'd like. Again, that bid was approved, I believe, at the June 11th meeting. So the contract is just based on those approved bids. Other than that, it's just been advancement and work with the administration on the downtown development and trying to advance getting title to the properties that we need in order to pull the whole project together.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you, Vin. Parks and Recs. I see the demo's on.
Yep.
Any questions?
Can you hear me? I'm on.
Yep, we got you, demo. Any questions for Parks and Rec?
Yeah, Dennis, Charlie Sampson, just real quick. The new policies put in place for Payton Fieldhouse, and I know there was quite a few, but one of the policies request a monthly report, written report, in regards to applications received and those using the field house. So hopefully that gets forwarded to the Board of Aldermen at this monthly meeting. Reason I'm saying that is because the prices were set based upon what the subcommittee their research into it, and with having these reports readily available to us and being able to see them month after month, we can kind of gear if we're outside the box, if we're too low, too high, and the Board of Aldermen has the ability to change the pricing on use of the field or the house. So I would just say that, you know, this report is kind of important to us. I know we only have one application last month for use of the field, that was the only per se completed one. But if you could, moving forward on a monthly basis, just an easy spreadsheet or work with Mr. McLiverty in regards to, you know, who used it, what group you put them in, and the amount of money collected, just so we can see on a month-to-month basis where we're at, so that, you know, 6 months from now, when we look at things like the pricing, it comes up again in front of ops and procedures, you know, we have an idea going in at what we want to look at. It would be greatly appreciated, Dennis.
Will do. You want a verbal for today? I mean, you kind of know already. We have some paperwork out there. We haven't had any responses financially for a financial commitment to rent as of yet. I think you're talking about the police that utilized the building.
Actually,
am I right?
Dennis, I didn't know that I had in the back of my mind that they were going to ask. I thought that was for September. I think it's more of, so for October's meeting, anything that was finalized, utilized, and the contract is up for September. So if I use the building on September 1st, that should be reported to the Board of Aldermen in October. If I apply for it in September 1st, but don't plan on utilizing the building until October, that should actually come to us in November, because now my contract's finalized. The only one I knew about was we should have got an application from the softball, the Fireman League softball team. And I get it was $0. But it still shows the Board of Aldermen, people are using the facility, and this who's using it. This is, you know, this is their cost. And like I said, I highly anticipate within you know, 6 months, we'll probably be looking at the fee structure. And again, in 12 months, we'll probably be looking at the fee structure again.
Okay. I do have the application from the fireman. I'm sorry that it was not forwarded. But I do have a file, and we do have it.
We don't need the application. We just need a quick report on name, group number, date and time they utilized the field, and, you know, costs associated to it. And, you know, what was collected. That's all. We don't need the whole package. That goes to Mr. McLiverty, who will keep that in a file in the finance office at this time.
All right. So, Charlie, I'll talk to Keith tomorrow, and we will figure out a spreadsheet for Parks and Rec.
Real easy Excel spreadsheet could do the trick.
All right. Sounds good. Any other questions for Parks and Rec?
Yeah, Dennis, where do we stand with the attendant for the complex? I know we have obviously the two building attendants, but what about the rest of the complex?
Well, we don't have them. I suspect that when we bring in some money, that maybe the attendants will be financed. But to date, they are not. I kind of don't blame that for not happening.
because actually we haven't done anything that really warrants them so far. We've been handling the two fellows that are the custodial staff for Peyton and myself have been managing the daily activity, opening for the Little League and the firemen at night, and then closing down at night. So we've been handling that with the three of us. We have not finished the attendant program or started it, for that matter. And maybe Charlie could speak to this. I suspect that maybe we will have that happening for us when we start bringing in some rental revenue.
Yeah, Alderman Heider, Charlie, I actually was going to ask if Alderwoman DeGennaro would put that on the agenda for the next ops meeting. It was a discussion that we had in finalizing the policies over the last few months, but I believe an attendant should be hired. That's that. Hopefully that starts an ops that goes back to this board to get the approval to hire an attendant. The money has been budgeted for fiscal year 2021. It was actually budgeted for, I believe, some of last year, kind of over anticipating, but the money is budgeted for this fiscal year. So Dennis, if you could do me a great favor, just a quick three liner to Mr. Garfalo and request that that item be on the agenda for the operation and procedures meeting during this month.
Okay.
Thanks. And Dennis, Ronnie Sill, just so I'm clear, Dennis, the field itself, like the track and everything, the piles of leaves on that track around the field, yeah. Is that your custodians that would do that?
No, not at all. That's strictly Public Works. My guys, if that's what we call them, are basically the building. And Public Works handles the grounds.
I just want to jump in here real quick. Alderman Jim DeMartino needs to be excused. He has an emergency he has to take care of. We still have a quorum, correct, Patty?
Yes, you do.
Okay.
Yep.
So just to let you guys know that. All right, continue on the conversation.
I'm sorry, Mr. Mayor. Maybe the emergency is he's got to take that Yankee shirt off, but go ahead. Thank you, Jim, for attending tonight.
I think he was going to go give Ronnie a new pillow at his house with the Yankee digging on it. But go ahead.
Oh, man.
Oh, that's a blanket. Okay.
All right. Well, I just wonder who checks it and who does it, because there's leaves in front of the building along the wall there for about 6 months.
Yeah. Well, it is Public Works, and I'll be happy to let them know.
Somebody let them know at least, yeah, or who checks it, but I appreciate that.
Well, we all check, but Public Works is responsible for the maintenance for the fields and the grounds, for that matter.
Thank you.
I have one more question, Charlie. I don't know if this goes to the operational procedures, but is there do we have a marketing plan for the complex? I know we obviously have our guidelines and our fee schedule in there. Is that something we're going to develop, or does that go to the Parks and Rec Commission, or where do we start with that?
Yeah, to be honest with you, Rob, I would probably move that to Parks and Rec and see what they want to do. I'm more than happy to sit down with that committee, and I'd have some great. I got a drone. We could make some great video footage of the place, and we could put it on social media on the Derby, the Derby page, the website, the Derby, the official City of Derby Facebook page. I'm more than happy to get out there and work with them, but no, as of this time, we do not. After just finalizing all the policies, I would love to do something like that with Parks and Rec. I think they should be the ones heavily involved.
Yeah. Ron, is that something we can get on your commission's agenda? I think that's a great idea.
Sure. Yeah. I'm sure. I don't know if Andy's on to my chairman, but that would be very good. Yeah.
Okay.
All in favor. Yeah.
Aye.
Thank you.
All right. Anything else for Parks and Rec? All right, Demo, thank you for being on tonight. I knew we were going to have some questions.
All right. My pleasure.
I'm sorry. I have one more thing. Do we have
I'm here.
Do we the signage that says that the complex is open from dawn to dusk and also that the complex is closed during school activities, practices and games, have those been posted yet or have they even been ordered yet?
I just picked up those signs yesterday from Doc Conway's office, and I dropped them off at Public Works. There's four of them. We just got them. What we were going to do is the next Parks and Rec meeting, we were going to discuss. Basically, the discussion would be we're closing the facility while the school teams are practicing. Okay. So my thinking was the process would be to discuss it at the Parks and Rec Commission meeting and then kick it up to the Board of Aldermen for finalization and implementation. It's going to be a little controversial because we're going to be asking to close that facility probably from, you know, maybe like a 2 o'clock, maybe to even like a 7 o'clock every day. And I'm sure we're going to hear about it. So, my thinking was that we do it, the right way and send it through the commissions and ultimately to the Board of Aldermen for the final decision. Now that hasn't happened, I guess, right? I know it sounds like you know about this, Rob, but you guys have not talked about it. Am I right?
Well, no, I know about from the field committee that we were supposed to have signs that say open from dawn to dusk. And I had a couple of coaches reach out and I witnessed it myself. The CIAC, for instance, is, has guidelines for the players to be in cohorts and temperature checks and masks and everything and while they're on the field. So while the football team is out there practicing and the track team is out, cross country team is out there on the track, the cheerleaders are there. There's also 20 people from the public on the track as well. So if we're trying to social distance and follow the CIAC guidelines with our students, we certainly can't have an additional 20 people using the complex at the same time because, we're not going to be able to, the students aren't going to be able to follow the guidelines.
Well, okay. Well, if we were to okay this process, then they would not be permitted to be there. I actually don't know how exactly we would enforce it right now. We would need some cooperation from the Board of Education, especially the coaches, but because I really have no staff to police the field. But first things first, if we get voted to make that a rule up there, then we'll find a way to enforce it. But the idea was to pass it through the commissions so that, everybody's on board with it.
Okay, understood.
That'll be Parks and Rec Monday night, 14th.
Right. Yeah, we're next Monday night. So, I mean, that was my we're only days away from our meeting. So, I just picked up those signs yesterday. Ed and I are going to be going up to the facility to determine placement. We already talked about that. And the Parks and Rec Commission meets Monday for discussion about this. And then we'll move it on to our leadership after that.
Ronnie, it's Charlie Sampson. Listen, you have the public relations committee and that, closing that part down. If you want that to come to ops, I would highly recommend just somebody shoot an email to ops, but you could probably take care of that in the public relations end. You let me know, but I 100% agree with Dennis that, that does at this time, that does create an issue with the COVID-19, but it's something that we need to address and we need to address it sooner than later. And once again, politics, I hate to see this get dragged out.
Yeah, you know, totally different times we're under now. I mean, years ago, the old men would watch the football practice, and this would happen. That totally different now. You're right. And yeah, we'll take care of it. We'll start.
Listen, I get it. Yeah, well, I get it. We're old men. We used to sit there and watch the football practice, but right. Yeah, this is old. This is different sparrow. Times.
Yeah. Okay. Very good.
All right. Thanks. Any other questions? All right. Hearing none. Thank you again, Dennis. Cultural Commission.
You're welcome.
We don't have a report, right?
Chris was on here earlier. Chris is still on here. I can't see much going on anyhow.
All right.
Yeah. All right. Website report for tickets of the month.
That streetlight repair, is that's not something that we would be able to fix as a city? Is that more?
No, anything that, yeah, whatever comes in goes right to UI.
Okay.
As soon as we get it, and then they grab a ticket and they fix it. Okay, field. I'm sorry, athletic complex building committee. Field house, baseball field, building committee.
Doc, just tell Joan we all said hi, and once again, thank you.
Will do.
Infrastructure committee. Johnson Control Project update. Senior Center. We had Christine on
there? Yeah, Christine's here.
Yeah, we had a meeting with your executive committee the other day, so keeping them informed. She has planned it, hopefully start opening that place up. It's a slow process. And she has a good plan lined up.
Continue.
Hearing nothing, we're going to move on to 7, administration and appointments. Approval of the minutes, 7.1.1, move to approve the minutes of regular meeting, August 13th, 2020.
Mayor, can I speak, please?
Who's that? It's
Patty. Patty.
Oh, go for it, Patty.
You don't know this voice? Yeah. Okay, all these are done, and I submitted 2 of them. As you know, and everyone, I had a little incident where I smacked my head and I had a concussion, et cetera, et cetera. And I take pride in my minutes, and they will be all available this weekend, but the 13th and the 27th, the 13th was like 18 pages long. So I apologize in advance, but it could not be helped. So it's not like me, but that's what happened.
Oh, absolutely.
I'll make a motion to table till our next meeting.
All right, do I have a second?
Second, Jordy Martino.
All okay. 4.
Yeah. More discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Staying? So
thank you so much.
Thank you. No problem, Patty.
We love you, Patty. I said we love you.
Thank you.
Just watch your cats there, Patty.
I know, my cat, my black eyes, my head. Oh, my God, concussion.
7.2, refund of taxes. Move to approve tax refunds in the amount of $6,256.75, dated September 9th, 2020. Have a motion?
Mr. Mayor, Charlie says, before this comes up for a motion, I don't see anybody from the tax board or the tax collector's office on here. I'm going to ask that we table this until next month, only because I see item number 2 and 3, both Toyota lease, same address, same billing number for the same amount. I'm wondering if that's a duplicate bill and it should be $135.25 less or that's two separate bills, but I cannot ask that question tonight because I can't get clarification. I know it's only $135.25, but every penny counts. So if the board can approve it this time, I'd ask we table this until next month.
Could you, well, Charlie, could you just take those two out, and if you don't see a problem with the other ones, because there might be some homeowners on there that are looking for their rebate, as opposed to holding it all up for those two, if you could subtract those two, just to
understood discussion. I haven't motion yet, but.
All right, so can I have a motion to accept minus those two items?
The new, if you only approve one of the two, it comes out to $6,121.50.
I'll make a motion that we accept the tax refund of September 2020 less bill number 18990M2019 for $135.25, making the total mark
$6,121.50.
So that's just taking one of them off. What if you take them both off?
Yeah, sure. Different bill numbers.
One of them could be approved, and then you can revisit the other ones and adjust it next month if you need to.
Understood. And that's okay. My motion.
I'll second that. It's Rob.
All right. So you got the price there, Patty? What it is?
Yep, I got it.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstain? Still carried. 7.3, no action. 8, committee reports, no action on all 3. 9, new business. 9.1, contract, curbside collection, processing, and disposal of residential municipal solid waste, MSW, recyclable, and bulk pickup dated August 28, 2020. Discussion, possible action on approval of contract agreement. Do I have a motion?
So moved, Joe DiMartino.
Second?
I'll second it.
Okay, and discussion.
Did we not vote on this last month or so? I know it was on the agenda, and I thought we took action.
We've never seen the contract.
Yeah, I don't think we allowed the mayor to move forward. I don't think we ever accepted the contract.
Okay.
Right, just for purposes of the board, so this was the bid that I discussed earlier that you approved on June 11th. The contract conforms to the terms of the bid and is consistent with the before this one contract, there were two contracts, one relating to the operation of the transfer station and the other one related to the collection of refuse. This one now combines those two into one contract.
This is Sarah. Now that there is bulk pickup added, should that be specifically added into section 2B somewhere? I know it kind of gets referenced with the exhibit A, but it's, I feel like bulk pickup is referenced in some places, not others. Exhibit E seems to have some outdated language. I don't know if that is problematic, whatnot. Also, I think in Exhibit D, there's just reference to municipal solid waste recyclables. I don't know if that includes bulk pickup. So I see it some places, don't see it other places. I'm not sure if that is problematic or whatnot. I don't know if Corporation Council, if
all right. So if you look at, let me go to the scope of services. So in order to protect the city and catch everything that the contractor is obligated to do, we first start by incorporating the language in the RFP into the contract. So to the extent it's not specifically stated herein, the RFP is incorporated into the terms of this agreement by reference. With respect to respect to the bulk pickup, I believe that is done. Let me see if I can find it quickly. And I want to just look at also while I'm looking for what you said, what exhibit D was outdated?
Exhibit E is definitely, if you look at, as far as what we're looking to do, I believe it's 167-15.
Right. I printed that out. If you look at the date.
Yeah.
That off the city's website on August 27th.
Right.
So it shouldn't be out of date.
Oh, wait. Let me see.
Because it's I'm assuming the clerk has updated everything, and I know he has. But I'll let Mark speak to it if he thinks that this is an outdated version. And if it be the case, we can substitute the operative ordinance. But again, I intentionally printed it out so it would bear the date. So I thought I was getting the operative.
I think because we just, that part of the ordinance may have to be updated since we now added bulk pickup into this contract, and this is referencing the public works.
What section are you referring? I'm sorry.
167-15. It's not a problem.
The only things we really added on to was the bulk pickup and extending the hours on Saturdays for the transfer station. Those are really the only two new things that we've added on to what was the existing, and we just combined them both because there was a lot of the same boilerplate information that it was redundant. So we just added them all together. Under the RFP.
So is it in section, section 167-15, section C, which is like on the, section C, it talks about solid waste and being picked up by Derby Public Works. I mean, the board may need to go back. This ordinance, that part of the ordinance looks like it was adopted in September 28th of 2000. So because this contract is changed, you probably need to go back and maybe revise this ordinance because a lot of it's old. And
right.
It talks about operating the transfer station, which we don't do anymore. Perhaps this needs a revisit.
And I think the purpose of incorporating the ordinance is to the extent that the ordinance, the contract ultimately controls what you're approving tonight, the bid specs that you put out, those are the operative, that's the operative terms that control the relationship with the vendor. To the extent that there were further obligations contained within the ordinance that were applicable, not necessarily relevant, but could be applicable, we refer to the ordinance. But yes, in looking at the ordinance is out of date and should be probably referred to a subcommittee, maybe Office of Procedure, for purposes of updating.
Alderwoman Wiadomski, thank you for adding more to our number. Good catch, Sarah. Good catch. I'm sure Bob will be happy, but if Mr. Garfalo could make a note and make sure that makes it to our agenda for this upcoming meeting.
Certainly. And I guess just, I mean, I just, in looking at this, Council, you reviewed the whole, this agreement, right?
Yes. Corporation Council? I drafted it.
Yes. Okay. So really, and you're comfortable that, the only changes were it includes the language about the bulk pickup
and the hours of operation at the landfill and as enforceable in this contract as you understand it.
Absolutely.
Based on what Ms. Finn said. Yeah. So
yes.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Any more discussion on this? All right. We have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstained? All right. So carried. 9.2 charter revision authorization of regulatory text for questions November 3rd, 2020 ballot. Move to authorize preparation of the text, the explanatory text for charter revision questions that will appear on November 3rd, 2020 ballot pursuant to section 9-369B of the Connecticut General Statute. I have a motion.
Mr. Mayor Charlie Stips and I move that.
Okay, second.
Second, Sarah.
All right, discussion.
All right, Mr. Mayor Charlie Stips, once again, just a quick discussion, and Mr. Hyder. I'm not sure who's doing the preparatory text, and I know you were the chairman of the committee that you did an excellent job on, by the way. Do we have the explanatory text ready? Because I saw several comments from a number of people in the Valley, Indy, in regards to questioning what's going on. Clearly, they didn't read it that said this was coming out later, but do we have that ready to move forward, or who is going to be drafting that for us?
I haven't seen the text yet. I could defer to Vin.
I will just assume for purposes of tonight's meeting that the town clerk and I will sit down and get a final draft of that explanatory language put together. And maybe what we can do, and I'll let Mark chime in if he thinks we're being too aggressive, but I think if the vote is going to be had on election day, if we had something to this body, I suppose we could either target your September 24th meeting date, which would give us two weeks to get it done,
or counselor,
additional time. If we got it to you on the 8th, that would be about a month, a little shy of a month, that we could get it out to the public for consideration and digestion before the election. You know, part of this is timing. You want to give the public enough time to digest it and understand it, but you don't want to give them too much time where they're going to review it and forget about it.
Understood. And I will defer to Mr. Garofalo. So obviously my first time through this. So I just,
yes, and I'm questions. Sorry. I'm sorry. I did not send the memo on this, and the heck.
Listen, sir. No reason to apologize. My question is, does the explanatory text worked out between yourself, the corporation counsel, and probably the chairman, does that need to come before this board to be approved in accordance with the Connecticut General Statutes?
No.
Then,
there's no obligation to have explanatory text.
Right. Okay. So the only thing before the board, if pursuant to section 9-369, it's really your decision is to decide whether you want explanatory text or not. And then section B goes on to say that it shall be prepared by the municipal clerk. Now, in the past, what we've done is it's basically a collaboration between the Corporation Council, this office, and then to make sure that administratively that everybody understands that, yes, this is, you know, because you can't advocate in favor or against. It has to just in simple summary format explain what the question is, and for the most part the six questions that are kind of individual issue questions, I mean obviously they almost don't even need explanatory text, but it they're pretty straightforward. The larger question with the bunch of sections, we just need to lay it out in much the same way that you discussed it. So we're going to take all that input from the meetings and basically reduce it to like a one page to just say this, you know, boom, 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 and we'll distribute it to everybody. And we really need to have it done in advance of October 2nd, because that's if you do authorize this motion, then it has to go into the absentee ballots and it has to be printed for like posting at the polling places and so forth. Working backwards
from a timeline, if it has to be done by October 2nd, at what point do you have to have it to the printer?
That is a good question. We may be able to do it in-house if it's a simple thing, but
you're likely going to have a substantially larger number of absentee ballots this year because of the COVID exception.
Correct. So we really need it. Everything's got to be done by, I would say, done and to, you know, to back from the printer like on the 25th of September.
So we should target the 18th.
Yes, definitely. And I have most of it done. I just wasn't able to finish it.
Listen,
but we just need, it actually should have been on your last agenda.
Just so we don't beat a dead horse here and we move on to item number 13 for Mr. Sill, because he loves that one. We're going to take a vote to allow you to prepare it because we want something out there. You guys get together, yourself, Attorney Marino, yep, and Mr. Hyder, because he knows the spirit of everything. Do what you have to do and get it out. But just so we don't beat a dead horse here tonight, I have no more discussion.
All right, so we have a motion and a second. All right, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstain? So carried. 9.3, lighting on East Derby Green, Academy Hill. Discussion, possible action.
All right, if I can, Mr. Mayor, an hour and 10 minutes later after I tried to speak as a member of the public and was denied, I would like to speak now. As I did not have a committee meeting, I am always in favor of not putting anything that the public don't want, especially near their properties. They pay high taxes. My only thing would say it is an old city light fixture from downtown that was restored. I think it would look beautiful there. We could send this back to committee and maybe just an idea to put that light up, but not run the $1,000 worth of electric to even light it up. Just have the fixture there since the cement thing is there. But I'm open to go any way anybody's happy with.
And then just to correct you, I think, Ron, it wasn't I stopped you as a public citizen to speak. It was
that's why I gave my address.
Well, I thought you wanted to debate the whole thing at that time, and that's the only thing. I think that was a proper time for discussion. But
Mr. Mayor, Charlie Sampson, I'd like to make a motion that we move this to the Community Relations Subcommittee for future discussion.
I'll second that, Sarah.
Okay, any more discussion?
Well, that was so fast.
Okay.
I love you, Ron. More I could put on your plate, less on mine.
Very good, I know.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? So carried. 10, sale of old business, sale of city property, 196A Derby Avenue. Move to approve sale of 196A Derby Avenue to the highest qualified bidder. Do I have a motion?
So moved, Jody Martino.
Second, Charlie Sampson.
Just a quick question. These bidders are adjoining property owners?
Carmen down there.
Unmute, Carm. Unmute.
Yes, they are.
Yes, okay. They are.
Very good. Thank you.
I think you just, for the purpose of the motion, you should include the successful bidder and the bid price for the motion, please.
I will withdraw my second so that Mr. President DeMartino can amend his original.
Add that.
I have that information.
Yeah, Carmen's looking it up now, hopefully.
I got it right here. $12,800. The successful bidder was $12,800, and it was Peter Stoffa and Company, LLC.
So I'll add that to my motion.
I'll second the addition of that to his motion.
Okay, any more discussion?
And if, And if I may, Mr. Mayor and members of the board, just for the record, that pursuant to the way the bid was put out, that that property cannot be used to increase the activity on that property. Is that correct, Mr. DeCenzo?
Increase the size of the building on that property.
Correct, yes.
Yeah, it's subject to deed restrictions, the deed restrictions contained in the deed. They're more specific than that, Mr. Clerk. There's no construction on the property. The property could either be used as a side yard, or it could be it cannot be utilized under the city's zoning regulations for purposes of enhancement of the construction on the adjoining property that it's now becoming a part of.
Thank you for the clarification.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstain? So carry.
Very good, Carm. Very good, Carm, at this late hour.
Thanks, Ron.
No, nothing yet. Talking going. Executive session, nothing. Regular session, nothing. Before we get to 13, tomorrow night, there is a 9/11 service, just to let all the aldermen and all the women know. It's 7 o'clock, I think, Ron. Is that correct? Yes. So all
7. 7 p.m. on the Derby City Green.
Right.
Just let you all know. Number 13, Ron.
Motion to adjourn at 8:43 p.m.
Second.
I second it, Camille.
Good night, everyone.
Okay, everyone. Thanks.
Bye.
See ya.
Bye.
Good night.
Good night.
8:42 p.m. 8:42 p.m.